Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, Father King, Lord, I bless you and praise you, Lord, that you have called us, Lord, out of darkness into your marvelous light, Father. You have called us to be a people called by your name. And I thank you, Lord, that you speak to your people. You are faithful to your promises, Lord. You're faithful from generation to generation. Oh God, may your spirit continue to reign in this place, Father. May you be in the ministry of teaching the word, Father. May your spirit be all over it, Father. May your kingdom come. May you reign forever, Father. May you open the hearts of your people, Lord, to hear your word, to act on it, Father, to be changed by it. Anything that I've missed, Father, may you add it. Anything that I've added, Father, may you strike it. May the name of Yeshua HaMashiach become greater. May the name of Eduardo become lesser. Amen. You ever know that God speaks to you, but then sometimes second guess yourself that God speaks to people? Nowadays, anybody? Like, I know that the word says God speaks to people. And I believe that the Lord has spoken to me in my past and has spoken to me. But then sometimes you doubt that God speaks to you. Have you ever feel that? But you knew he spoke to you, and you know the word says that he speaks to his people. So I had another message I was writing. The title of the other message was called Pedigree. And it was based upon Romans 11. And it was going to be, I think, really good, right? It was about, like, God's calling and who you're called to be, right, and your pedigree, and that God isn't worried about the flesh but the spirit, right? This sounds good. That's really going to be good. And that one's been cooking for a while. I'm sure Rabbi Mark and Zach and Dan and the others who teach can attest that when the Lord starts speaking to you about something different and then you get excited about it and it's in the brain and it's cooking, right? You're thinking about putting it down. And then when I went to write the message that was titled Pedigree, the Lord said, you're not writing a message called Pedigree right now. That's for later. I was like, no, you know, Lord, it's going to be so good, though. You don't know. It's going to be a great message, right? I'm like, Lord, if there's 10 righteous, would you let me write it? But the title of this message is the message of Micah. And what's funny is that my key verse, one of the key verses that I really wanted to hone in on, Rabbi Mark started talking about it during the mini message. Brothers and sisters, there are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. Multiply that times 20, 30, 40 verses, you get a lot. And he picks the one that's going to be the main part of this message. Brothers and sisters, God speaks to his people today. God brought confirmation today. Amen. Tell Amy that. No, I'm just kidding. God, just kidding. I am obedient. See, I do it when she's here too. You guys say I don't do it when she's here. She's here. God wants to speak to his people all the time. The problem's not the Lord. The problem is the people. Father, may we have ears to hear you, O God. And Micah had ears. Micah listened to the Lord. Micah's a pre-exilic prophet. He was a prophet before the Assyrian conquest happened, before the exile happened from Assyria, before Nebuchadnezzar and all those guys stepped on the scene from Babylon. Micah has a vision of destruction for God's people. It says the word of the Lord came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. The northern and the southern kingdoms is what this is shorthand for. And it was, brothers and sisters, it was destruction, but it was also that God would have life for his people. It's a message of, hey, you've messed up, but I'm going to put you in a place where I can get you right. The Lord says, Micah 5:14, so I will execute vengeance and anger and wrath on the nations that have not listened. God is the same as he was before. He's the same today. He will be the same tomorrow. God will not let unrepentant sin go unpunished. But in the same way, God says in Psalm 32:7, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. The Lord knows how to deliver us when we turn to him, right? The Lord knows how to take us out of a messy pit. The Lord knows how to deliver his righteous ones. Amen. And the judgment for Israel at this time is very clear. The Lord doesn't pussyfoot around. I've never used that except when I preach, because I have no context for ever saying pussyfoot. It's just a weird word. And the judgment is serious. Hear, O peoples, all of you, listen, O earth and all that contains, and let the Lord God be a witness against you. The Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord is coming forth from his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. Why the high places? Because the high places is where we've set our eyes on. The mountains will melt under him and the valleys will be split like wax before the fire, like water poured down a steep place. Why is this judgment coming? Why is the Lord full of fury against his people, against the people of God in the time of Micah? It was because of their sin, brothers and sisters. Is there sin in our camp? Are there shortcomings that we have? Are there places that we miss? And listen, if you have missed the mark, God wants to forgive and make you whole right now in this moment. Sometimes we think that the Lord doesn't see what I do. Sometimes we think that the Lord thinks that he can just push things aside, or that the Lord has a blind eye towards certain things that we do. But it says God is concerned with everything that you do. Every place that you go with, every person you hang out with, the thoughts that you think. But I've said last week, we are to take every thought captive to Messiah, brothers and sisters. Is this what you are doing? Because our God is going to come from his place. He's going to come out from the holy place, and he's going to judge this world. But to those who call on his name, we can have deliverance. Amen. And why is he doing it? All this is for the rebellion of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the rebellion of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? What is the high place of Judah? Is it not Jerusalem? The very thing that God gave Israel, a place where he will put his name, became a high place for them. The very gift that God gave them, which was Jerusalem, a place where he will put his name in the midst of his people, became a place of idolatry for them. For I'll make Samaria a heap of ruins in the open country, planting places for a vineyard. I will pour her stones down into the valley and will lay bare her foundations. Are your children a gift from the Lord? Who doesn't like their kids, no? Anybody? Are your children a gift from the Lord? Your children can become your idols. Is your work a gift from the Lord to be, because wealth comes from him, right? He gives us the ability to do work, but is work your God? School, your spouses. Think about anything that you're absolutely consumed with. It can be a good thing that God initially gave you, but if you bow before that thing, before you bow before the Lord, that is an idol. God was going to judge Samaria and Jerusalem for what they had done, before their idolatrous practices, for lifting up something before him. God, too, will judge his people this day if we do not make him the number one thing in our lives. Amen? Is it easy? No, it's very difficult to submit to the Lord and to lay everything at his feet, brothers and sisters, but this is what God is calling us to do. Amen? May we submit everything to the Lord. I'm going through that right now. What jobs do I take? In addition to the things that I do here, and what do I do for schooling? Do I do an MDiv? Do I go the rabbinic track? Do I do the Hebrew? Do I take a job overnight? Do I take a job in the morning? What do I do? What do I do with the time that God has given me? How do I do the things that God called me to do, provide for my family, do all those things, but still keep Yeshua as number one? We do not get any excuses if Yeshua is not number one in our lives, brothers and sisters. Please hear me on that. We don't get passes. Say, Lord, you don't know. You don't understand. I had an electricity bill that was really high, so I had to work at this place that you didn't call me to work at. Micah 1:7 says that all of her idols will be smashed, all of her earnings will be burned with fire, and all of her images I will make desolate. Are Are there idols in your life? Because the day is going to come where you stand before the Lord and you give an answer for the account of the life that you lived. And there's not going to be any excuses that we're going to be able to lay before him if we had other things in front of our God. And this next part of this verse, it haunted me. Because it didn't make sense when I first read it. It didn't make sense when I first read it. I've gotten a grasp on being able to understand scripture. I was taught by Rabbi Mark a lot. I was taught by the elders a lot. But I came across this verse, and this verse sort of caught me paused. I paused for a minute, and it said, for she collected her earnings, right? What she made from a harlot's earnings, from a whore's earnings, from being a harlot, from being a prostitute. And so the earnings of a harlot, they will return. What does that mean? Maybe it's not as difficult for you, but for me, it took a second for me to think to that. And this is what it came down to. The principle is that what you give into in this life, what you consume in this life, what you enjoy in this life will either be your death or your life. It will be your downfall. It will be your uplifting before him. If you are consumed in harlotry, if you are consumed in waywardness from the God of Israel, that very thing will be the judgment upon you. There are practical principles in this life for how we live. If you live a life that is contrary to Yeshua, that life will suck you up and destroy you. Is anyone with me? Thank you, Rabbi. Every time we do that, I think about the Spider-Man meme where they're pointing at each other. Every time. All of her earnings that she collected from a harlot's earnings. And so the earnings of a harlot, they will return. Is there anything wrong with sex? Is sex inherently sinful? So what's wrong with the harlot? The problem with the harlot is the same problem that the northern and the southern kingdoms had. The gifts that God gave them, they perverted them. Jerusalem should have been a good thing. It should have been a thing where God placed his name. It should have been a thing, as Solomon prayed, that the nations will look towards this temple, your place, and forgiveness will come out from this Holy of Holies. That atonement will be made for the people in Jerusalem, but Jerusalem became, they took it and they thought, because we have this Jerusalem, God's not going to cause judgment on us. This harlot did the same thing. She took sex. She took what she knew. She took what she had. She took what God gave her to be beautiful, to be lovely, to be something between her and her husband, and she perverted it for financial gain. Brothers and sisters, are you being a spiritual whore? This is the question we need to ask ourselves. This is what Ezekiel asked us. This is what Jeremiah asked us. Are we bowing down to things that we enjoy and things that we just love? Look, we can do things that we like, but are we receiving spiritual benefit from worldly things? Because we receive something from it. Brothers and sisters, that worldly thing will destroy you. The harlot, the prostitute, she took what was beautiful that God gave her. And she wasted it away for financial gain. Is it impossible for us to be doing the same? It's not. It's not impossible. God forbid we say because I go to a messianic congregation that I'm good with God. God forbid I say because I put on a tallit that I'm good with God. Or God forbid because I don't work on Shabbat, I'm good with God. Or that I celebrate the appointed feast of the Lord, so I'm good with God. Or that you put that nice little Rosh Hashanah shofar on your Facebook profile page and you're good with the Lord. God at this point is looking for his people to go deeper. God is looking for his people to be consumed with him. God is looking for his people to take the beautiful things of him and to magnify him through them. Not to think that they are a get out of jail free card or a pass in this life. Is anyone with me? I don't want to pervert the things that God gave me. And you know what is happening all over the world? Some of the best preachers, I'm saying it, the orators, the speakers, some of the best speakers in churches that I've ever heard don't say anything when they're speaking. What does that mean? Some of the people who can captivate the people the most, that can keep the attention of the people the most, the people with 50,000 people in the seats, 40, 30, 20,000, you hear them speak and you want to listen to them, their voices like butter. Everybody likes butter. And it's soothing to the ear the way they speak. You hear some of these people. And I don't believe that these men are stupid or that they don't know God's word. I don't believe that these men didn't start off first loving the Lord and wanting to serve him. But if you preach the truth of God and God's message, it's more likely you're going to have more empty seats than more full seats. Why is that? It's because the flesh does not want God's things. So I believe many of these preachers who have nice buttery voices and who sound really good and have all the catchy things to say, they've moved in that direction to fill the seats. They are spiritual harlots. And it's not just the responsibility of the person on the bema or on a pulpit. And look, this isn't all preachers. But some of the ones who are the best natural speakers, they've taken that thing that God gave them, which is beautiful, that gift, that ability of being a speaker, and they perverted it against Yeshua for financial gain to fill seats. Is this everyone? No, it's not everyone, but there are those that are like that. We can learn from that. Let's not be like that in our lives. Let's not prostitute the beautiful things that God gave us for financial gain. And remember, the financial gain in the ancient world, when people worshiped the other gods, they didn't just worship them because, you know what, I like Baal, I like Asherah, I like how her name sounds, I like her temple. No, they went because certain gods had attached with them certain benefits because you gave them adoration and worship and sacrifices. So if you worship the fertility goddess, she was going to make you fertile. If you worship the god of war, you're going to be successful in war. If you worship the god of agriculture, your crops will be really good. If you worship the god of chickens, Jesse's chickens will be good. This is what the people derived in the ancient world. This was the payment that many of them got. We're not talking about dollars and cents and Bitcoin. We're talking about people receiving a benefit from the gods that they worshiped. And these people went around worshiping these different gods, prostituting themselves to him for the benefit they received from it. May we not be a people that are so deceived in Yeshua's name. May we be a people that only come to him and serve him and love him and adore him and live selflessly for him. At the cost of anything, even if it costs us our lives, oh Lord, may we be willing to lay it down in Yeshua's name. I can't promise that we won't face trials or tribulations or hurt time or financial struggles or things that are difficult in this life. Brothers and sisters, we might face difficulties in this life, but we have peace with him as we go through this life. And if the Lord so chooses us to take us home, at the resurrection, we will be with him forever. This is his guarantee. This is his promise. We can take it to the bank. Amen. But those who make idols, Psalm 115 tells us, starts off with a declaration to God, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. That's my prayer. May the name of Yeshua, the God of Israel, receive glory. Amen. Because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. This is why he deserves glory. He has truth. The idols have falsehood. The psalmist goes on, why should the nation say, where now is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases, but their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they can't speak. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have noses, but they can't smell. They have hands, but they can't feel. They have feet, but they can't walk. They can't make a sound with their throat. And this is the part that we have to pay attention to. Those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. If your hope is found in things that can't speak, if your hope is found in things that can't see, if your hope is found in things that can't feel, things that you are making with your own hands, then you will become like that pestle, like those pestilim, like those idolatrous things. You're making a Asherah pole, you're going to be like an Asherah pole. Out in the cold of brittle wood is what you're going to be made of. You're not going to be able to feel or see or hear or smell. May our hope and our trust be in our God, amen, because he lives, he sees, he feels, he touches, he smells. Our God is alive and he lives, and if you adore him, you will become like him. You will live forever in eternity and receive eternal life. This is what it is to be intimate with our God. This is what it is to know him. We're intimate with him because you become like him. You spend time with somebody, you become like them. I spend time with Rabbi Mark, I feel like I'm becoming like him. I spend time with Amy, I feel like we're becoming like each other. It's probably good that I become more like her. It's a mercy from the Lord, amen? God will turn you over to the thing that you love. God's desire for Pharaoh was that Pharaoh would let the people go. Pharaoh chose not, so God exacted his judgment, his glory, from Pharaoh either way. God gave Pharaoh over to his disobedience. God will give us over to our disobedience. God will allow us to become like the things that we love in this world that have no eternal significance. Paul says, professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and birds. How ridiculous that the truth of the eternal God who created everything is available to every person. You can open up your phone and read the Bible in hundreds and hundreds of languages. You can get an app that can break down the Hebrew of the underlying word and the Greek of it, and understand the root of it and do cross references. The technology is massive. We have this God that has made himself known to the world. Billions upon billions claim to call upon his name. God is available and ready for his people. And because of technology, in a way like never before, yet we'd rather use our phones for things that are contrary to the good news of Yeshua the Messiah. We'd rather look at things that conflict with the God that has revealed himself to the world. But it says, may God have mercy. May we live lives that are committed. Amen. How foolish. It's when you worship an idol, when you put anything before the Lord, you're saying, Lord, this is where you belong, but instead I'm going to put this thing here. Lord, this is where you belong, but Micah's, the people of God in Micah's time said, Lord, at Jerusalem, you go here, and the Lord, you go down here. Anytime you choose your family, your spouse, or your loved ones, or your kids, or your job, or anything before the Lord, you're saying, Lord, you belong here, but instead I'm going to put my job here, my spouse here, my family here, my children here. My excuses, my complaints. May God have mercy and may we keep the Lord in the top seat where he belongs. Amen? And because they did these things, they took the image of God and transferred it to these images of idols. They replaced God for idols. God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity. God will give you over to what you are consumed with. That should be a scary thought for any one of us who are not right with the Lord. We all have a long way to go. I have a long way to go. The Lord is not done with me. But may we be people who are actually in the fight and in the battle and not standing by the sidelines. Amen? And what happened when he had them over, when he gave them over, their bodies became dishonored among them. This is what happened to that harlot. This is what happened to the people in the time of Micah. They made Jerusalem their idol. She made getting money her idol. She traded what God gave her, and God gave her over to that thing. That even the money she had earned from her harlotry, from being hired, she spent it on another harlot. We don't receive a gain from the things of this world, brothers and sisters. We don't receive a real gain, something that has any real lasting value. You might get a nice paycheck from being a drug dealer, but you don't get eternal value from being a drug dealer. You might walk away with $2,000 if you knock over a Subway, but you don't get anything lasting if you rob a Subway. Does that make sense? That we need to have our deeds focused on Yeshua, our lives lived in the reality of who Yeshua is, because that's the only way we really receive anything of value. That's the only way that we come to anything that's of value. Everything else is vanity, vanity, right? Meaningless, Kohelet says. They exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. My prayer is that the Lord would never give me over to the things that I desire that are contrary to him. And you know what? That's an everyday battle, brothers and sisters. Anybody with me on that everyday battle? You ever want to just throw that Dunkin' Donuts at that lady? When you said 6 pumps and she gave you 4? You know it's 4? Whew. God have mercy. When Regina says only cream and they give her sugar. Fire from heaven. And the false prophets in the days of Micah were like that also. See, there's a responsibility of the people, but there's also the responsibility of the leaders. I think some people get upset sometimes. I'm sure people online think that sometimes we're a little bit too rough. You want a fluffy message, like a marshmallow? We don't have fluffy marshmallow messages. We have messages that are meat, that are going to transform you, that are going to draw you closer to Yeshua if you consume of that meat. Amen? They shall cry out to the Lord. This is from Micah 3:4. But he shall not respond to them. He shall hide his countenance from them at that time as they wrought evil with their works. Brother, if you do evil, there is a point where God will give you over to that evil and he will not listen to your cry. Do I know when that point is? No. It might be when you breathe your last. It might be at a point when you're still alive. The Lord judges. But there is a point where the Lord closes the doors on certain people and gives them over to their wickedness. Say that again. Romans 1. And this is the truth. And people don't like it because it's not fluffy like the marshmallow I told you about. But the rest, God in his word says that he will close the door on people. He decides when. He did that here. He's not going to listen to their cry. And these prophets, they too were like the harlot. Some of these guys might have prophesied truthfully at some point, and then some of them probably just took it as a job, or some people probably just faked it. But the reality is at some point, the leaders in the time of Micah, the prophets in the time of Micah, they prophesied good things if they received from the people something to eat. If the people weren't giving them anything, then they prophesied a holy war amongst the people. They were opportunists, and God judged that as well. May we in our lives, as we lead our families, as we go out into jobs, as we go into places, as I know Zach and Lee deals with a lot of people outside of here in other churches and things like that. And I think his impact is growing in the people he deals with, but he can't sugarcoat anything. And he doesn't. Right? Because God is gonna call us to an account for how we live. Where we go at work, what do you say? As you're raising your families and you're telling your kids things and you're teaching them and you're living a life and you're doing what you feel that God is calling you, God's going to judge that. May we not be spiritual harlots. May we not take the gift of God, the gift to lead a family, the gift to proclaim his truth, and may we not prostitute it. May we not hold back on it. Amen? And it's interesting. You know what the judgment of the prophets were? The same judgment as those who make idols. Let's read it. It will be night for you. The Lord is talking to the prophet. It will be night for you without vision and darkness for you without divination. The sun will go down on the prophets and the day will become dark over them. Why? Why did the prophets receive darkness as their judgment? It is because the prophets claim to have light. The prophets claim to see, so the Lord's judgment upon them was blindness. The prophets claimed to know what was going on, so the Lord gave upon them confusion. I know the way. I'm the prophet. Follow me. The Lord makes him blind so he can't see. Eternal night falls over this prophet. He can't see. God exposes him for who he is. A false prophet, a Navi Shechar, a liar. The Lord will expose us as well. May we have nothing to hide, amen? My prayer is that we would be a mature people in our God. that we would be getting discipled and that we will be discipling others, that we'd be raising our families to be godly, that we will be living uncompromised lives for Yeshua. But is this your conviction? Micah 1:7 says, all of her earnings will be burned with fire, all of her images I will make desolate. For she collected them from a harlot's earning, and to the earnings of a harlot they will return. Are you, brothers and sisters, grasping at the wind? What makes it, why does the Bible use the imagery of grasping at the wind? Why is it so foolish to grasp at the wind? Because you can't catch it. And you know what's interesting? You can't catch the wind. And wind in Hebrew is ruach. But those who profess his name, he's willing to give the ruach, the spirit. See, brothers and sisters, if we come to Yeshua, we have everything that we need. Why would we live a life contrary to him? This is the verse that Rabbi Mark brought up, which I think is really the big takeaway for us. Galatians 6, 7, 8. Which is crazy how he brought that up. 1,200 chapters in the Bible, brothers and sisters, the odds of that are really small. But it's the same spirit that leads both of us, amen? And leads the other elders and those who are his all over the world who truly call on the name of Yeshua. It's the same spirit. And this is God's word for us. This is God's word for his people. You want to get a deeper relationship with the Lord, take this verse to heart. Take this verse home. Meditate on it. Circle it in your Bible. Make a photocopy. Put it on the mirror of your house. If we lived with the reality of this verse, our decisions would be different, our lives would be different, the things we do would be different, and the result, what we receive from God will be different because of the lives that we're living. Amen? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. I never thought about this, but I think the Holy Spirit just brought this to me. You know, in the Levitical laws on the agricultural land, you know, you're not really allowed to mix different seeds in the same ground. See, if I plant an apple tree, I expect apples, right? If I plant a seed from a watermelon, I expect watermelons. And the Tanakh tells us that you can't put two seeds in one ground, two different types of seed in the same ground. You need to separate it, all that good stuff. There's a spiritual principle there. You can't sow seeds to your flesh and seeds to the Spirit at the same time. If you want to be a ground that is for Yeshua, if you want to be a ground that is for the Lord, if you want to be a ground that is consecrated to him so God can cause you to grow, then you need to pour out seeds into the Spirit, seeds into the Holy Spirit, seeds into what God calls you to, seeds into God's word, seeds into understanding the Lord. What are you sowing, brothers and sisters? What are you sowing into in the days that you live and the time that you have, the 24 hours of the 7 days a week and the 30 or 31 days in a month, 28 or 29 in February, these days that we have, what are you sowing into? What kind of ground do you want to be? And it's funny, why does he say God is not mocked? It says God is not mocked because he already told us in the Tanakh that a man reaps what he sows. It says in Proverbs 22:8, he who sows iniquity will reap vanity, and the rod of his fury will perish. Hosea says about the golden calf that was in Samaria, he says, surely the calf of Samaria will be broken to pieces, for they sow the wind, and they reap the whirlwind. See, we miss the Hebrew of the play on words. What happens is they're chasing after the wind, so the Lord is going to send a whirlwind as a judgment upon them. Brothers and sisters, we reap what we sow. Whatever we think we're getting from the world by prostituting ourselves to the world, God will call that back to himself. God will cause all that we think we're getting to be wasted. You know, it's interesting. I've seen people who have gone to AA meetings after 50, 60 years of drinking, right? I'm talking about people that are 65, 70 years old, been drinking, say, with 10, 12. I'm not even exaggerating. And you can see that they might have enjoyed some of those moments, but the consuming of drunkenness literally dried them up. Literally dried them up. And they could be sober for 10 years, 5 years, 7 years, you know. If you do it long enough, it will dry you up. So it's like that other passage that we read in Proverbs where it talks about, can a man scoop fire into his skirt, scoop fire into his lap? Without being burned. It's impossible. It is impossible for you to come so close to the flames and not smell like smoke, brothers and sisters. It's impossible for you to live your life for the flesh and not think that you're not going to get the consequences of the flesh. The consequences of the flesh is death. The reward of the spirit is life. Amen? I want us to be a people that live selflessly. That live adoring Yeshua. We talked about people who were sleeping in the service earlier. But what about us who sleep at the wheel of life, like Rabbi Mark said? The wheel of your spiritual life. The life that God calls you to be consumed with him, to love him, to live for him, to change lives for him. When's the last time you declared Yeshua to someone and it was offensive to them? Or when's the last time you didn't declare Yeshua to someone because it might be offensive to them? Are you willing to lay everything down at his feet? Now, these are the days to be bold, brothers and sisters. Our Mashiach, our Messiah, is coming soon. I don't know when, but he is coming back. And he's coming back for a spotless bride. He's not coming back for a bride with stains. He's not coming back for a bride with a hole in her skirt. He's not coming back for a bride with a ripped sleeve. He's coming back for a bride that is spotless and well-dressed. But you know what the crazy part about being well-dressed is? You have to get up and actually get dressed. Anybody with me? I'll finish off with this last verse. Sow with the view to righteousness, from Hosea 10. Reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. Whew. If you lived a life far from the Lord, if you missed the mark and you know who you are, listening online, you know, even those who might be walking with the Lord, if you missed the mark, now is the time to sow with righteousness in your view. We're not just called to do God's things and just do it to do it. We're called that we have a reward with our God of righteousness. Righteousness doesn't mean we get the world's wealth or we get the world's comforts, but we get the comforts of our Messiah. We get our comforts of the Lord, amen, which is peace and joy in his presence. But it doesn't mean we get the world's stuff. It means we get Yeshua's stuff. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, the fruits of the Spirit. And we get a great reward and a crown of righteousness when he appears. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. This moment is time to draw closer, to press in harder, to give up everything, to spend time fasting and praying and reading the word and seeking him and doing the things that God called us to do, submitting everything to him. Now is the moment. This is the second. I can't promise you 10 minutes from now, but God is right now is calling us to sow unto righteousness, to make a decision to pour into spiritual things, to pour into godly things, to pour into Yeshua's things and forsake the world until he comes to reign righteousness on you. I'm not putting apple seeds in the ground expecting to get coconuts. I don't even know where coconuts come from. I think it's a tree, right? Don't judge me. I know other stuff. I don't know animals, agriculture, or any of that stuff, or geography. I know Pennsylvania is like this, though. But you know why? Because in our job, we have a map of Pennsylvania. That's the only reason why. To one, he gives this gift, and to another, that, right? When we leave this place today, as we close out, we're going to pray. I know Rand Mark's going to come up and say, share. I know he is, because he always adds on it. He does so good. It's awesome. To be in sync by the Spirit, right, is a beautiful thing. And God's desire isn't just the elders and the rabbis are like that. God's desire is that his people would be like that. That you would have experiences in your life that confirm these words, that you would be going and sharing these things with your children before you even get here. Because if you're listening to the Spirit, God wants all of us to be in sync. He wants us to be one as the Father and the Spirit and the Son are one. You know what a closeness that is? For his people to be one as the Father and the Spirit and the Son are one. Now is the moment, brothers and sisters. And I'm excited for what God would do. Aren't you? For what God can do, how God can move, how God can heal people. We've seen it happen. We see God heal people. We've seen God heal relationships. We've seen God restore families. We've seen God do amazing things. And I expect so much more from him. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, Father, King, Lord, I bless you and I praise you, Father. You are holy, Lord. You are holy, 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 Father. And we just welcome you, Father. We welcome your word, Father. We welcome your truth, Father. For our lives, Father, we lay anything down that is contrary to you, Father. Illuminate anything that is contrary to you, Father. Give us the strength by your Spirit to lay it down, Father. And may we represent you well, Lord, to a dying world, to our families, to our loved ones, to our children, to our grandchildren, to those near and far, Father. May we proclaim your truth from the rooftops, Father. May we live unashamed of the gospel of Yeshua all the days of our lives, Father, and we will give you the glory in Yeshua's name. Amen.